Hi everyone, it's Tom Panos here, Dane Atherton. Hey, I'm so pumped about this interview because this guy here has been a trainer, has worked in sales, has been a PA, has been an auctioneer, and in the last 2 years has become a business owner and has built one of the most incredible Harcourts offices in the country, right up there, like top offices, and one of the top offices in the state in Australia. I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but wouldn't be surprised if it's number one in the not too distant future nationally. Hi, Dane.
Well said. Thanks, Tom.
Hey, listen. Firstly, congratulations.
Thank you.
2 years. A lot of people do a lot of things in 2 years, but I've just seen this business come from a guy that was out there being just a trainer. You walk your talk. You've built an amazing business. You've built a great team. How many salespeople have you got?
We've got 31 salespeople.
31 salespeople. And in 2 years, you have just built a total attraction business. And it's come, you're unique because you've been a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us the top three things that you've learned making the transition from training to running this business.
Yeah, well, I think probably when I came into to buy the business 2.5 years ago, one of my insecurities was is I hadn't sold real estate for a while and I was a trainer and I sort of felt a fair bit of pressure that, geez, I better do this because I've been preaching it for a period of time. But now that I look back, not having the sales distraction was actually a very big advantage because I see a lot of selling principals that have great reputations, great databases, but they've got vendors calling them. Taking it away fundamentally, they're taking them away from the role of being a principal. So I didn't have that distraction, which now that I look back, I was insecure about it, but it actually turned out to be a big advantage because it allowed me to focus on what my actual job was.
Right.
I just thought I'd slip that in. The first thing I probably learnt was I'm not responsible for someone else's success or failure.
Yeah.
I'm responsible for creating the environment, the training, the leadership, the resources, the environment for them to step up if they choose to. Probably in training land, Tom, not dissimilar to you. You go and speak to an audience, you're pumped, you leave them in a haze of excitement. You go off to the next one, you do it again, and sometimes you can fall into the trap that they're going to implement the next day and the next day and the next day. Well, I found out very quickly that's not the case a lot of the times. Change is hard and it takes time. So you can have someone commit to you, yes, I'm going to do that, I'm really excited. And then the next day, as a business owner, the reality of them not doing it is just cold, it's in your face. So I had to get used to that.
Okay, so in many ways, you running the business now, so are you basically training them all the time instead of just training them at a workshop and then they're out on their own? What do you, I mean, how have you built this business this way? What do you think that you do? What is your core competency that helps you get these sorts of numbers? I mean, and I know the numbers are incredible.
Yeah, well, okay. It's interesting because a lot of people would make that assumption that I would be training all the time because of my training background. But there's a little thing called profit in your own land. And I think probably the first session I did was fantastic, but then it just becomes Dane, you know, and I think what I'm conscious of is getting new people, fresh people in, and we had Neil Henry from the Titans come in, we've had yourself come in, we've had Michael Sheargold, Lee Woodward, we've had Mel Meninga, we just keep it fresh, so we're always trying to get new faces in to inspire and, you know, and at the end of the day, it's just about getting people back on track to the fundamentals. That's what it comes down to. And any way we do that, we try.
Get on that. What are the fundamentals?
Oh, well, it's building relationships with people who own homes that you want to list with.
Right.
I think that's what it comes down to, doesn't it? So if you have a relationship with someone who owns a home in a marketplace that you want to list, there's a good chance if you've positioned yourself as their real estate expert, you're going to get called in. But then there's another whole part of that, which is, as you talk about, attraction. So any action that's designed to generate listings, I think, is the core focus of most really good salespeople.
Okay. After employing all these people, some have been successful, some have not. What's the secret to a good salesperson? The audience that's watching out here, if they have to turn around and say, that appears to be what good people do, if you had to summarise it in a couple of minutes, what are the characteristics of top agents?
I think the characteristics are so many But the one thing that I notice is that the great, really good performers are authentic and they find their niche. So I'm a believer that there's more than one way to do real estate. We've got a lot of people who do a lot of auctions, given my persuasion. We've got some of our top people who don't do auctions. I'm okay with that if that's their belief. So if they believe that this is the way that I want to run my business and they come from a good place, that's okay with me. And I think there's some magnificent people who operate that way in our business. So I think it's about finding what you believe in. You know, where's your energy around and going towards that and being authentic. Because at the end of the day, there's a list from A to Z of ways you can generate listings. There's a list of A to Z of ways you can market property. But as long as you've got a consistent formula and a consistent approach to it, and you do it often and you enjoy it and you do it with passion, I think it can work.
Okay, so what you're saying is you've noticed your best people might not necessarily all be the same. They do different paths, but what is the same is that they are doing what they believe in, and that belief is about trust and authenticity because they feel comfortable and they might like it and they believe in it and they're good at it, and that appears to be the successful model.
Absolutely. And if you really drill down on all of our top people, they've all got one, two or three consistent go-to actions or strategies that they use to generate listings.
So, okay, can we talk about some of those actions? And people have got different ones.
Yeah.
You tell me some of the ones that, you know, excite you when you see your people doing them, because you know that they're results driven.
And we really have a really big cross section. So this is something that I'm very passionate about, because part of my job as a leader is to not make someone feel bad because they don't happen to fit that box. It's right. Actually about bringing them, saying, hey, that's the way you operate and that's great. You've got to embrace that.
Yeah.
And a good example is we've got two guys that work together as a team and they're very database driven. They're private treaty driven. They do great marketing on, you know, via internet, and they really run a great database model. So every single person that comes through their open home, every realestate.com inquiry, they follow up and they're sifting through all those opportunities. They're consistent with their listings, their flyers and market reports, and they're just consistent about that kind of marketing. They're consistent about it. And as a result, that consistency, they do 8 to 10 sales per month, you know, month in, month out.
As a team.
Then we've got another person who's been with us 6-7 months now. She came from a business where she was told that, you know, databasing is the way to go and pure data, which does have a great place in our industry, no doubt about it. But see, she needed to get to what she was great at. And what she's great at is getting in front of people and getting them to market their properties loudly to attract buyers. And by doing that, that creates an attraction business. So she runs a very attraction model where the phone rings for people who want to list, she goes and lists the home. She runs that model beautifully. For me to go and pull her away and say, hey, do 10 before 10 and get 20 emails of pure data, that would be silly of me to do that because it's not right for her. So I'm a big believer in finding out what the niche of that salesperson is and bringing that out in them.
Got you. Okay, so I think that's been really well said, Dane, because in a lot of my interviews I talk to people and they say this is the only way it's done, and they have this deep conviction, 100%, no other model works. Mm-hmm. What you're essentially saying is you take the human being into account, you take their strengths, what they like, what they're good at, and you basically get them to be in their flow, in their zone.
Definitely.
And that they will get better results doing that than you constantly trying to coerce them, changing them.
We've got a very broad geographic. So we've got Broadbeach, Paradise Point. For those of you that don't know the Gold Coast, that's a two central hubs, central Gold Coast and a northern central hub. So we've got 31 salespeople, of which most of them are market leaders in their respective farms or catchments. So they all operate different. You know, they all operate in a different way. Where I think those people are coming from that say this is the only way, what they're really probably, how they're really coming across is this is what I believe in. So if a principal believes in that, that's great. But it doesn't mean that, you know, your five best producing agents are going to be the same. Flexibility is a big word there.
And it must be something that you, have developed as a leader because knowing you, you're an auction person, aren't you? Mm-hmm. And you're very much on print, brand, big ads, big BPA. Is the business still, like, it does do a fair bit of auctions, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
How many auctions would you?
We do 30 to 40 auctions a month. Okay. And that comes from people who do auctions, that believe in doing auctions, that choose to do auctions because they believe in it. Right. It doesn't come from me saying, you've got to go and do auctions. Right. I learned that pretty quickly, is that you don't have someone who doesn't believe in the process go and do the process, because what they'll do is they'll apply the private treaty process to an auction. It won't work, and they'll say, see, I told you, it doesn't work. So it proves their point. So we provide training, and a lot of my discussion is around that, but that just comes from my personal persuasion. If they want to jump on board that, that's fantastic. But if they don't, and they're working, and their business models, you know, it's working for them, well, that's okay as well.
Dane, we talk about some of the good things that people do. I want to focus on, when you see someone that's struggling and it's just not happening for them, what have you identified their reasons could be?
It's really interesting, because my wife and I, who's my business partner as well, we talk about Dr. Sale. And quite often when someone is in a bad way, the first thing to go is their abundance mindset.
Right.
So if someone hasn't done deals for a while, which can happen, we all get in flat spots. Our energy's low. Our diet normally goes out the window, we don't exercise. So all of the things, when you're tired and cranky and you're not getting results, it's really interesting, human nature is that you stop doing things and you start picking up bad habits. So what I find is when people are low, they develop a scarcity mentality and they start looking outside of themselves for the answer.
Right.
And that's when you can get, you know, people say, hey, our coffee machine's broken and we only have one ply toilet paper, we need two ply toilet paper, that's the reason. You know, just an exaggeration. So, I mean, people start looking outside of themselves for the answer. That's a bad part of human nature, and that can be a bad part of an agent that's not doing well.
Okay, so what you're saying there is, to me, you're talking more about, that's more about attitude, mindset, and less about skill set.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is, when that goes, it seems to affect everything.
That's right, yeah. I mean, it's almost cyclical. You know, so when someone has a good run, they do a lot of deals, then they've got no stock. Because they haven't been prospecting, because they've had, you know, sales has been the distraction. What happens then is they get into this month or two where their stock isn't as high. They're not feeling, they derive their energy from outcomes. So the deals are gone, you know, the excitement's gone, and then they can get into a flat spot. Now, rather than going towards the actions and getting back into the generation side of it, sometimes they can focus on the negative, and
right.
and that's what you've got to be careful with. And that part of my role is to bring those people back on purpose.
Okay.
And one of my favourite quotes to bear in mind with that is, the results are none of our business, just the actions. You know, so if you go towards the actions, the results are going to come. And the results are none of your business, because they'll just work themselves out of there at the end.
Okay, I like that. That's gold. You know that I like stopping things when something's hot, and I thought the way that you have eloquently said that, Dane, the results are none of our business, the actions are. And to me, that's liberating, because it's something you can control.
Mm.
It doesn't feel like, you know, when you can't control something, you feel a little bit like there's no power. You feel like you're caught, that it's luck, it's other people's, things are out of your control. And what you're basically saying is, focus on the activity, focus on the process, and the proceeds will come.
Great example of that. You might be sitting in your office right now. Let's imagine the phone rings on one of your listings and it's a red hot buyer that wants to do a cash contract today at full list price. Most people's energy would go through the roof. So you could be having a bad day, you get that phone call and you slide down the back pole, you're in the car, you're out there that quick and you're so excited that you just juices are flowing. If I had spoken to you an hour before that, you would have said, oh, I'm a bit flat, you know, not going that well. That phone call comes, your energy's great. What I'm saying is that phone call was not of your control. What was the control was getting that listing correctly priced and marketed in the first place.
Yeah.
So rather than have energy around that outcome, have energy around getting the price reduced, have energy around getting the right method of sale, right marketing, because that's like, those phone calls will only come if the other actions are taken care of. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely makes sense. And I think if anyone that's watching this should take really, really big note that It's really exciting to know when you've got a challenge or a problem, Dane, and you can actually do something about it. That's a liberating, exciting feeling, you know. And what you're saying is that you can control price by the feedback you're doing and the type and crucial conversation you're having with the vendor, that you can control the amount of listing presentations you're going to get to over a period of time with the amount of relationship appointments you're having. So what do you say, Dane, what do you say to somebody who's watching this right now, who's in that, not in momentum? Because more or less you're talking about when someone's got abundance and momentum, things are generally good.
Mm.
It's when you don't have it. Is there some advice that you can give to someone that needs to sort of snap out of it and move forward?
One of the great things I heard once, and I love this attitude, it's easier to sell 10 homes a month than it is to sell one or two.
Mm.
Now, when you think about that, that sounds really weird, doesn't it? But when you think about it, to sell 10 a month, yes, you have to work hard. Yes, you have to do the actions, but it's exhilarating. You know, it's effortless. You're in the zone. Yeah, yeah, you've still got to have the tough conversations, but you, if one deal falls over, you've still got nine others.
Yeah.
When you're doing one or two a month, you're probably avoiding. You're probably only doing one or two a month, maybe because you're just starting and you're building, but most of the time it's because you haven't done the work that you needed to do to get the amount of listings you need to get, do the reductions and all those, to get the marketing right. So it normally comes from avoiding the actions.
Yeah.
When you think about
it. Yeah.
So the thing is, if you're avoiding the actions, this is what I love. And this is one thing that if I went and did a training session again, which yeah. I will at one stage go back and do that, still have my business, of course, but, you know, go and do it. But if I, and I'd love to do this with our own team, is let's talk about prospecting. But here's the phone. Okay, so let's pick up the phone and let's make the call. What happens is everyone goes, yeah, yeah, that's a great script, that's fantastic. But when it comes to actually physically picking up the phone, there's something that comes over some salespeople where it's just this fear.
Yeah.
And I'm here to say that's normal. Like, don't beat yourself up because you have the fear.
Yeah.
Beat yourself up when you feel the fear and then don't do it.
Yeah.
That's giving in to yourself.
Yeah.
Here's the reality is that what's the worst that can happen? They say no, they say I'm busy, they tell you to go away. Most people who prospect really religiously and consistently don't come into my office and say, oh, I've had all this abuse today. That's not what they focus on. They focus on the... Because they don't get it. It doesn't exist.
You mentioned a word before we started, detachment. And I can't help but not... I'm thinking about that word there, that good people get detached from, you know, negativity and...
Absolutely. I remember I had a... I listened to a speaker once who runs a really big business and he's got 250 salespeople. And he said, you know, he said, oh, I love the energy around that amount of people. Now, I know some people that would say, oh, there's too much ego and there's too much this. And I think that's focusing on the wrong thing. Like, if you focus, you can choose to focus on what you focus on.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good example. But that comes back to that controlling the outcome. If you go towards the action is making the call, being happy when you do it, smiling through the phone, asking the question, getting your script right, and just actually making it.
Yeah.
If you do that often enough, it develops a fitness. It develops a resilience. If you've prospected for an hour in the morning, you're much more likely to do a great presentation because you've worked it. You've worked hard. It flows on. You know, it has a flow-on effect, getting that discipline right.
What you used the term before we got together here today, real estate fitness.
Yeah.
What's real estate fitness to you?
I think real estate fitness is you meet people who are at the top of their game. And you can only get to the top of your game by doing and going towards the actions. You know, going towards the listing presentations, getting in the zone, going towards the difficult conversations with vendors, going towards the price adjustment meetings, the remarketing meetings. You know, if you're doing a lot of that and you're doing deals and you're in that fitness, you know, you just seem to have no hesitation in going towards the things that need to be done. Where you're not fit is when you're focusing on what the seller might say, or you know, the negative outcome, and it can be very the procrastination. Yeah. It can be very prohibitive for some people. Going towards, I just think people who are fit in real estate have earned the right to be fit by doing the work.
Yeah.
And when they do the work, that's very attractive when someone's fit because they're so clear with the client.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to take you on a journey. We're going to tick that box. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And there's nothing more endearing than seeing a salesperson. And there's nothing more attractive than someone who's got a plan.
Beautiful. Dane, I'm really excited because in June this year you're going to be speaking at ARIC, and you're going to cover a lot of this content plus much more, because you're going to be able to deliver it in your words. I want to thank you so much. I want to ask you one final question. If you were starting in real estate again, day one, what advice would Dane Atherton give Dane Atherton?
I've watched you do all these interviews, and
I love that question.
And I knew that was coming, but I didn't. I should have prepared for it. What advice would I give? I heard another speaker answer the question when I watched your interview,
right.
And it actually resonated with me.
Right.
And the answer is, the advice I would give myself is back yourself and think big.
Right.
So if you back yourself and you think big, when you think about it, the difference between people who are doing incredibly great things and the people who aren't is that the people believe in themselves.
Yeah.
Not in an arrogant, egotistical way, but they just have a self-confidence.
Yeah.
And I think it's harder when you're young because you don't know if you're on the right track or not. But look at someone who's doing what you want to do. And if you're doing what they're doing, yeah, and you're doing what they did to get there, well, you're on track, and just believe in that. Have the confidence to go and take that lease next door, or, you know, to put on the PA.
Yeah.
And just what would happen if everything went well? Not the other way. Oh, well, I'll be cautious and I'll hold back, and then you don't reach your potential.
Well, I've got to tell you, I think it's a great way to end it, because I think anyone that's sitting out here watching it now should be thinking, embrace fear, embrace discomfort, because what you're saying is it's normal. What is really, really bad is not doing it.
Oh, absolutely. And look, I think if you get, like, most salespeople, maybe if you get them on the right day, they'll actually tell you, hey, look, I get scared too. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with it. I get scared. I make calls. But I'm telling you, I have hesitation. I talk myself out of things. But every time that I've fought that and I've gone towards it, it always ends well. So go towards it.
Beautiful. This has been Dane Atherton, Harcourts on the Gold Coast. What are the two offices? Harcourts.
Broadbeach, Paradise Point.
Harcourts Coastal. Paradise Point, Harcourts Coastal. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.